Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We have completed chapter 13 and started discussing chapter 14. So in the last chapter, we have very exhaustively discussed the relationship of the nature and the knower of the nature, the Prakriti and Purusha, the field and its knower. That we have seen that both are anadi, both are beginningless. But all these activities take place in Prakriti. The self remains inactive. It becomes a witness, but its very presence makes it possible, all the activities. This field and its knower, when come together, then only a creation comes into a place. If there is a field, but there is no knower, or the knower, but there is no field, both cannot exist because field of the knower only exists because there is a field, and the field only exists because the knower is there. So this superimposition of field and its knower creates this world of plurality as we know. But it never really explained to us why this plurality, in other words, why this variety. We know that the Prakriti is beginningless, we know the Purusha is beginningless. Both are even in terms of there is no difference in Prakriti here or Prakriti there. There is no difference between a knower here and a knower there. Then what is that causes all this world of plurality in the variations and modifications that we see? That I am different than you are different than he is. This chapter deals with that aspect of it. Knowing that Prakriti is all-pervading and even everywhere, so is the knower. But the qualities of this Prakriti, which creates this variety as we know. So this chapter, a chapter Yoga of Gunas, now talks about the nature of the Prakritis. Because we have seen that there is no activity taking place in the knower, the self, but all the activities, all the karmas are the cause and the cause of the Prakriti. The very nature of things and beings creates this activity and this variety. So that will be discussed in this chapter. And the chapter opens with Lord Krishna's declaration. One more time, as he has done many different times before, he says, Param Bhuyaha Pravakshyami Jnananam Jnanamuttamam. I am going to tell you, I shall again declare to you the supreme knowledge, Jnananam Jnanamuttamam, the best among all knowledge. What it really means is that we need to constantly keep repeating what is important, what is real and what is unreal. In the last chapter, in a very broad brush, we have seen that how we can disassociate ourselves as the knower from the field. That included my body, mind and intellect. So that was the paradigm shift for us, that this body, mind and intellect is part of the field. One who knows this body, mind and intellect is the knower of the field. That knower is the self. That self is pervading equally among all the beings. However, it never explained then, if that's the case, if the knower is the same, he's pervading everywhere, why there is a variety? Why I am who I am and you are who you are? So this chapter says, if I know why I am who I am right now, if I have a guide to analyze my own self, I can introspect and say, what makes me who I am? At times I'm a nice person, at times I'm a very angry man, and at times I'm not so nice. What makes me that not so nice and nice at various times? If I can have a guide where I can use that as the path to introspect myself, maybe I will have a better chance to understand myself as I exist as the jiva, as the individual ego, and then can transcend that individual ego to identify with the self which is all-pervading in all of us. So, therefore, this knowledge is the most important knowledge among all the knowledges because it allows you to introspect your own self. Yat gnatva munayah sarve param siddham itah gataha. Anytime you have to sell something to somebody, you have to make sure that there is a proof. You can't say that nobody has ever heard this before. You are the first guinea pig, I'm going to try out on you, and let's see it works. Krishna says, no. This knowledge was used by many munis. Yat gnatva, knowing this knowledge, they attained the param siddhim, the highest supreme achievement, itah gataha, after going from here. It's pretty complex sometimes and sometimes can be misleading if you don't read between the lines. The first one is say itah gataha, after going from here. So we come to the conclusion that this knowledge will be only beneficial after I die. Having been here may not be possible for me to gain that knowledge. Then yad gnatva munayah sarve, all the munis who knowing this has achieved the supreme state. And we all know that we started out by saying, what is the supreme state we are looking for? The supreme state where there is no limitation for me. I am right now suffering from my limitations. I want to get out of these limitations so that I can have eternal bliss. So, am I qualified for this? And this thing can misguide and say, Munihi sarve. So we think that all the muni, it is for the munis. And then the muni, our picture of a muni is, as Swamiji says, guy who is in his 70s and 80s somewhere in Himalayas with white beard and is surviving on just what he can gather around in Himalayas and nothing to do with the sansar is a muni. Swamiji tried to explain to us that muni is one who is contemplating about his mind, you know. In his mind, he's contemplating about his self is a muni. One who is a seeker of this knowledge is a muni. As this knowledge becomes more and more clearer to him, yad gnatva, this knowledge becomes clearer to him, get closer and closer to his goal. When this knowledge becomes his own, he achieves that final state where there is no limitations. Itah gataha, after having gone from here, from this state of my understanding that this is me, this body, mind and intellect is me, and the workings of my body, mind are my doings, and I am the enjoyer and sufferer. Once that understanding has changed from body, mind and intellect are part of the field, and I am just the observer who makes this body, mind, intellect function, I go to that stage. So itah gataha, going from this stage of identifying with the conditioned, individualized ego, which we have seen in the field and its knower, the knower which identifies with the field becomes the individualized ego. Knower which identifies with my body, my mind, my intellect becomes me, the jiva. once that identification is detached and I see myself as every other self, I become free from that. Itah gataha munihi have come to understand this. The next verse says, idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmyam agataha. So we have two entities right now in our understanding. One is me, who is eternally suffering, because any time I think I have achieved what I want, something else is higher than that which creates. So something gets out of my control. I think I have control all the situations, and then suddenly something gets out of control. We figured out everything is going right, and suddenly we hear that, oh, my son is not doing. There's our son, if somehow I make sure that side becomes, then we figure out, oh, economy has. We try to manage things within our control, but then constantly something is getting out of our control. So that's me. Then we know that, oh, there is someone who has a control over everything. That one never have to worry about. He doesn't have to compete for jobs with anybody. He is the lord of all these beings. This too has a complete, division. I and him are separate. But my goal is constantly to become him, because my goal is to become without any limitations, without any sorrows. So I'm constantly trying to become what I am from what he is. And Bhagavan says, idam jnanam upashatya. One who has taken refuge in this knowledge, the knowledge which he has not given us yet, but he's going to give it to us. He has given us the kind of broad brush understanding of how things work in this. But how to get from here to there, we don't know yet. But he says, idam jnanam upasritya mama sadharmyam agataha. Once who has taken refuge in the knowledge, they have become one with me. Their dharmas have become what my dharmas are. My dharmas are limited right now, his dharmas are unlimited. From this limitedness to unlimitedness, Bhagavan said, those munis who have understood this knowledge and became one with that knowledge, he became one with me. Sadharmam agataha. Sarge api na upajayante pralayena vihanti cha. Broad statement for somebody like us who are worried about next paycheck, and says that sarge api na upajayante. They do not take birth even at the time of creation. We are saying, look, forget about the creation and pralaya. I'm worried about what's happening tomorrow. But he says that such a person, sarge api na upajayante, pralaya na vyathanti cha, and he doesn't get destroyed at the time of pralaya. Because we are also pretty long-term planners. So we say, okay, I do all of that, but then again I'll take a birth and I'll go back to the same thing all over again. I'll realize that I'm that unlimited being, but then I'll take a birth again, and then I'll start from scratch all over again. And Bhagavan said, no. Once you have realized who you are, there is no birth or death for you. He said, well, why, if that happens, if everybody realizes this, well, obviously there is no creation and there is no pralaya. So why are we going through all of this again? He said, this is self-knowledge. This is for you to get out of the misery which you are going through. You are not worried about what the others are doing. It's yourself. We are not taking over his job of creating and destroying. I am only concerned about me. If job market is bad and we have 10 of our friends who are out of job, including yourself, who are you most worried about to get a job? Me. Good luck to all of you. Once I get a job, I get for it, right? Others may be whatever they are doing. Bhagwan may be whatever his goal is in this pralayas and creation. I need to get out of this misery. He's the one who has understood this. He will never have to take birth again or die again. Swamiji explains in a logical, philosophical manner. He said, the world keeps on going the way it is, but I understand that this Prakriti is an illusion. The creation is a trick of my mind. If there is a lump of clay or a Play-Doh, I make the shape myself and assign value to it that it's a doll, or it's an elephant, or it's whatever it is. Nothing has changed in the Play-Doh or the clay itself. But my mind has now assigned a value that it's a creation created by me. And I have given a name and form to it. Now, if I don't assign the name and form to it, and keep seeing the clay as it is, there is no creation taking place. Now, when I take that clay and that elephant or whatever made and destroy it into lump of clay again, that elephant is destroyed if I have taken credit for that creation and assigned a name and form to it. But I've never assigned a name and form to it. It has remained what it was before, lump of clay. Prakriti remaining Prakriti and Purusha remaining Purusha. My mind and my intellect assign values to it as creation and destruction. Once I get out of my mind's trickery of assigning names and forms and joys and happiness, there is no creation for me and there is no destruction for me, but the reality remaining as is in all situations. Therefore, there is no birth or death for this conditioned ego which is right now going through this. This is therefore, Sarge api na upajayante, one who has taken refuge in this knowledge, become one with my dharma. For them, there is no birth or death. From Brahman's point of view, there is no creation taking place, and there is no destruction ever happening. From the waker's point of me, there was never a creation in my dream of a company which was making billions of dollars, nor was there was any crash of that company which lost all the money. For the dreamer, both were very real, and therefore he has to go through building a company, whatever I did in the dream. From the waker's point of view, nothing ever took place, what I have envisioned or experienced in the dream. From the one who has awakened from this relative reality, the reality remains constantly the same. So the next verse, Bhagavan says, Mama Yonir Mahat Brahma. So now we have to say, okay, all this is well and good, but how all this thing come into being where I am now part of this plurality, and I am an individualized ego, I am identified with this body, I know I am, this is me and that's not me, that's not me. What's happening to you is not happening to me. So now they have again the broad brush understanding of how this world comes into being. So, Mama Yonir Mahat Brahma Tasmin Garbha Dadhami Aham Sambhavah Sarva Bhutanam Tato Bhavati Bharata. How all these beings come into being? Mama Yonir Mahat Brahma. Mahat Brahma. Mahat the great. Brahma. In this case is the entire Prakriti. Brahman is the source for both the Purusha and Prakriti. Brahman is the source for both the field and its knower. At my point, this field is his body and the knower is my consciousness, that I am aware of that. Both are only possible because I am part of the Prakriti as this body and the consciousness as the Purusha. At the microcosm, that's when these two came together, I came into existence as Nilbhat. Bhagavan says, at the macrocosmic level, my Mahat Brahma, the entire Prakriti, is the womb of all the beings. And I, as the Purusha, gave the seed in that womb, and all the beings come into being. sarva yonishu kaunteya murtaya sambhavati yaha tasam brahma mahat yonihi aham bijapradapida. Where this idea of God is their father come from? Right from here. I am the bijapradapidaha. We know how in our world the child takes birth. Mother's womb and father's said two have to come together. That's where a creation takes place of a new baby. Bhagavan says, no matter wherever in this universe, being is taking birth. It is because of tasam brahma mahat yonihi aham bijapradapita. I, as the seed-giving father, give seed to thee. My mahat yonihi, the great womb, which is this entire prakriti. In other words, this entire prakriti is viewed as the one womb. And in that, the consciousness is the seed, is the knower of this field. That awareness taking place creates a conditioned ego. Once that consciousness identifies with the prakriti, it creates a conditioned ego. It creates a creation. If the consciousness never identifies with the prakriti, there is no creation coming in place. There are clouds going all the time, but we don't see it, so there is no creation. But when we see it and we start seeing shapes in it, we create all. The Luray Cavern. We went to Luray Cavern the first time and we had a guide. The guide can walk you through and say, this is a village and this is a ball falling from such and such. And as soon as he says, oh yeah, yeah, yes, I see it, I see it. Last time we went there, we took Pauravi to Luray Cavern when she first came. Well, they didn't have guides anymore. And they have this audio thing which was not working that day. We just walked through the whole thing and then Pauravi said, what's so big deal about it? Well, it's great, but what's so big deal about it? I said, because you're missing the whole explanation. Where you can start seeing the falling water and these villages and all that in this. But nobody pointed out to us. Once somebody points and I make an association with it, a creation takes place. So Bhagavan said, once the Purusha identifies with the Prakriti, at the microcosmic level, a conditioned ego takes birth. So, no matter where an entity is taking birth, a being is taking birth, I am the seed-giving father. And therefore, in all religion, as we say, he is considered a father of all the beings. We'll stop right here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi Shantihi Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.